Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he walked into the house he wanted to buy and was overwhelmed by a horrible feeling he couldn't explain. Someone else moved in, and within weeks, they were gone. Did they feel it too?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello! Thank you so much for listening. Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would really like to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can write it down by going to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can always become a premium subscriber, get the advance episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. My sister Kathy Gordon is here today. Welcome, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much. How are things going in Kansas?
Pretty good. I'm going to go see Hairspray tonight, the musical, which is one of my favorite shows.
You know, not all musicals are standing the test of time.
I think you could watch Damn Yankees and think that.
There's quite a few
Guys
that
and Dolls,
I watched.
I think you can.
I have to tell you, I watched Fiddler on the Roof a while back, and I was a little horrified. And My Fair Lady, you know, where the guy's like, "I can fix this girl," you know. I'm like, "What?"
I know
the entire premise of it. I was like, "That's
well,
not
and
right."
We have a theater here, a music theater of Wichita, and they bring in a lot of Broadway actors. A lot of them do the leads, the Broadway actors. And they audition from all over the country. So the extended cast, like the dancers and the backup people, they come from all over the country. But what I'm really excited about is that two of my friends are in this production, and I can't wait to see them. And one of them, Enjoy, she was on The Voice. And she got quite a ways on The Voice. And
look at you having these friends. That
I
are
know.
All bad.
Enjoy's done several of my plays. And so this part in the show is just meant for her. So I can't wait to see it tonight. It's going to be super fun. It's just a fun show. But they did do Fiddler on the Roof this year. And I actually had a friend in Fiddler on the Roof, and I did not go see him because
I'm not
like,
saying.
I can't.
That, you know,
I
but
can't.
When they're like trying to get rid of the daughter, you know, and pay, send her off and like make her a match. And
so, yeah, I did not go to see Fiddler on the Roof. I did not.
Well, it's so funny. Like, you just look at all of those and you're going, I don't know about that. But my big excitement is I'm toying with going down to the park where they're having a little festival this weekend and seeing a Foo Fighters tribute band. So how's that?
Oh my God, you have to.
I love you. You know, I'm a huge Foo Fighter fan.
You have to do it. Like I saw there was a, I can't remember where it was, somewhere close. They had a Led Zeppelin tribute band. I was like, I should go.
But I love Led Zeppelin. Oh, I love Led Zeppelin.
Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
I would love to hear a ghost story.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, this is Jay from Maryland. I have a story. I'm going to try to be brief with it. It's in involving this house that I used to always pass my neighborhood while going to work. One day I decided when I got to work, I would try to find out information on this particular property that I saw. I knew it was vacant, and I kind of liked it. It was a small home with a nice five-stand backyard with a pool. When I got there, I went on the internet to see if I could find out any information I could in reference to the property. Because it was vacant, it didn't have a for sale sign in the yard, and I worked for a mortgage company at the time. So I didn't find too much information other than everything that had nothing to do with the price of the property, at least. So I decided to tell one of my coworkers, hey, there's this house up the street. I like it. I think I want to try and see if I can purchase it. So my coworker decided, okay, let's go up and check it out. We drove up to the home, which was about maybe 2 miles from the office. Pulled up in the driveway. We got out of the vehicle, walked up to the front door, and tried to open the door. It was locked. So we went to the side of the home to look over the fence to see what we could see, you know, in the backyard. pool, nice size backyard. That was about it. So we went back to the front door. I grabbed the doorknob, and when I turned it, the door opened. I didn't give any thought to how weird that was or anything. I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I just wanted to see what the property was like inside. As soon as I stepped inside of the home, I just got this overwhelming feeling of, wow, I just felt, it's hard to explain, agitated, overwhelmed. The first thing I said to my coworker was, wow, somebody must have died in here. It's hard to explain it, the emotions that I was feeling from being inside the home. It was kind of dark. The cabinets were open. Whoever moved out, whoever owned the property, they didn't do anything to clean up after whoever moved out left. And I was walking around, and there was this one room that had the walls painted black, and it had black window blinds. And I was like, God, they must worship the devil in here or something. I don't know why they got a black room. I don't know. But there was also a basement. My coworker decided to go down in the basement, and I didn't go because it was dark in the house. And then so he went down. I just stayed upstairs, and I just couldn't shake the feeling that I had. So we left the house, went back to the office, and I was explaining to my other coworkers about the inside of the house and everything, how I felt. I just felt like I was angry. I wanted to hit something. I wanted to cry. I was sad, and I never felt anything like this before. So I said, you know, my mother, for whatever reason, she said that she can always feel when things are happening, or my brothers and I are experiencing something, or we're having issues with something. She said she can just sense it. I'm the oldest of three boys, and I live in Maryland and they live in Georgia. And I said, let me call my mother. So I called her number, put her on speaker, and my coworkers were standing around my desk, and my mother answered the phone, and she was crying. I said, Mom, what's wrong? And she was like, I don't know. She said, I just don't know. Something is not right. I don't know what it is. And she said, my coworkers were telling me to pray, and I prayed, and I just couldn't shake the feeling. I said, well, I went into this house that I wanted to see if I would like it enough to buy it, and when I got inside, I just felt really weird. At the time, my coworker that went in with me, he had decided he would call a friend of his that was a realtor and find out some information on the house. As I was speaking to my mother, he hung up the phone. He said, you don't want to buy that house. Seven people were massacred inside of that home. It was said that the father came home and caught the wife in bed with someone else. He killed his wife, the other person, and all of his kids except for one child that somehow got away. I don't know all the details of the story. My mother, I told my mother, and she was like, don't go in that house again. I was like, okay. Got off the phone, went on with my work and the rest of the day, still trying to shake that feeling. The next day, I came back into work, and they were still talking about the house, and my supervisor happened to be in that day, and herself and the receptionist were back in the back at my desk, and everybody was talking about the house, so they wanted to go up and check out the house. So I was like, okay. We all got in our cars and drove up. This time I didn't park in the driveway. I parked across the street. They went inside. I stayed outside. They came back. Everybody got in the car, went back to the office. I really didn't have any, you know, weird feelings this time because, like I said, I didn't go inside. But when I got back to the office, I called my mother again. Same thing. She was crying. I said, I went back to the house. I told you not to go back to the house. I said, okay, I'm sorry. So got off the phone. On the way home, that afternoon, I was driving by and I saw a gentleman in the driveway standing next to his car. So I kind of pulled over to the side of the street and I walked up and I said, hi. He said, hi. And I said, you buying this house? He said, yeah, I'm renting it out and I'm going to be moving in here on Friday. And I just looked at the house and looked at him and said, okay, well, congratulations. And, you know, I didn't want to say anything to him in reference to maybe he was excited about it. I just didn't want to get involved in that. And I drove off. Driving past that house from that day on, I noticed his cars was there at least for a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, one day, it was like the house was vacant again. I don't even think the guy stayed in there a month. But, you know, that's my story. And I have a couple more about growing up in a haunted home in Georgia. And I will be calling back and give you all some information on that home. Thank you for this opportunity. And you all have a good day.
I think that is a fascinating story in different ways. Because, yeah. Like, at the beginning, he walks into the house and has that overwhelming reaction to it.
Yeah.
And then he calls his mom because his mom has this psychic connection with her kids. And he's like, I got to check in with her. She's crying. She doesn't know why. I found that to be really interesting. And then the coworkers, they're like so intrigued by it. They want to go check it out themselves. And then he ends up talking to the guy who rented it. And the guy doesn't even stay a month.
Yeah. Could, you know, it makes you wonder a little bit about the guy that rented it, if he knew the history going into it or not.
My guess is no.
You know, now some people might know and think, you know, it's that's something that happened in the past.
Some people, I don't think that would bother. It would bother me.
I'm telling you, it is the strangest thing. I think it would bother me, too. I lived next to a house years ago that there was a murder in. And I mean, it happened while I lived there. And, you know, it took a while before the trial went and the estate and all the things happened. So I would say it was 3 or 4 years, maybe even 5, before it actually went on the market. And a retired woman, bought it, lived there by herself. I just never felt like, you know, it always just amazed me. And I asked her once about it and she went, no, you know, it's fine. Nothing.
Well, and I wonder,
I cannot think I would feel that way.
I wonder in this case, if the house was, because I think he said he wanted to buy it, but he said something about the guy was going to rent it. So, you know, maybe it never got caught up in an estate or anything because the people, when this happened, they were renting the house.
Yeah.
So maybe they were able to clean it up and try to get it back on the market. Because it would be difficult. You know, I'm going to guess if you own that house, it would be hard to sell it. It would be hard to rent it. And you still have a mortgage.
Well, and, you know, by law, do you have to tell anybody who's renting a house what happened in it previously? We know that there are states where you have to disclose a murder, right? But if you're renting it, maybe not.
Depends on the state. There's a big distinction between a physical defect and a murder. There's no Kansas law that says you have to do that to rent it. A murder is generally considered a psychological stigma rather than a physical defect. And Kansas does not have a law about that. So it would all just depend on the state. So, for example, if someone owned a Wichita house, like, say, the BTK one of them, where a murder occurred 15 years ago and now rented it out, they generally wouldn't have to put a murder happened here in the rental listing or affirmatively tell every prospective tenant. So that's interesting. So I think it depends on your state.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to wonder if, in that case, the person didn't stay very long, because obviously there must be some bad energy there, because the guy sure felt it when he walked in. So I'm going to guess when they rent the house, you're planning on staying more than a month.
Oh, I would think.
You know, and so I wonder if you could go to the tenant, the owner of the house, and tell them, look, something weird is going on in this house and I can't stay here. And they're like, dang, murder.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, here's the interesting thing about this particular property. It was very overwhelming to Jay, the caller, that he was so overwhelmed, he just couldn't even. He said immediately, anxiety, edgy, you know, felt... I'm assuming he might have even, the way he talked, had a little physical reaction, a little nausea.
Oh, it sounded like,
You know, like he was really not feeling well. And now the guy he's with, the coworker, goes, yeah, I'll go check out the basement, even though there's no lights.
Like, what was up with that?
Like, he, obviously, the coworker was absolutely fine with it. It speaks to Jay's, you know, more psychic tendencies.
Well, and he obviously gets that from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that he definitely probably has. The other guy didn't.
Now, with that said, you know, you have somebody say, yeah, I'll rent the house. It looks fine. Looks great. Got a pool in the back, whatever. You know, it'd be wonderful. Gets in. Now, maybe things start to actually happen. Some people, it might take a brick hitting them before they realize. So he may not be able to feel it, but then once he gets in the house, all of a sudden, you know, doors are slamming, people are, you know, footsteps, you know, all the things, creepy shadows, whatever. All of a sudden, then things are starting to happen. And then maybe you start getting the feeling.
I just think there's no way something like that, and I've said this a million times, something like that can happen and not leave an imprint.
Yeah.
How can something so tragic happen? And I think that if I would know about it, like one of the houses here where BTK murdered people, as far as I know, all of those houses are still standing and people live in them. Except his house is not. They tore his house down. But... you know, because I lived by one in my last neighborhood. It was just a few blocks away from my house. And I just think it would be very strange to live there and know what happened. Because everybody in town knows that house and where that happened.
Right.
Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people do. So I just think it would be really strange to live in a house like that. And they sold it years ago, and they had a hand... painted sign that was like no gawkers.
Yeah.
And like, because apparently they were doing open houses and people were just going in to see the murder house.
Yeah. And I'm sure still people drive by all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I couldn't live in one of those houses. I just couldn't. I couldn't.
That's it. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just. So I think it's interesting. I think that he definitely has some abilities that he got through his mother.
No joke.
I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's go to, this is about a custodian at an elementary school. Says, I've been listening to the show for a while, wanted to send something in that happened when I worked nights as a custodian at an elementary school. It's quite a few years ago. The school had been built sometime in the late 20s or 30s. It definitely looked its age in some parts of the building. Had two floors, long hallways, old classroom doors, with the little rectangular windows in them and those heavy radiators along the walls. I can picture that in my head.
Yeah.
I worked there for about 6 years, and most nights I actually liked being there after everyone left. Once the teachers were gone and the after-school activities wrapped up, I pretty much had the place to myself. I could put on a radio, get into a routine, and work without anyone bothering me. For a long time, nothing unusual happened. Then one night I was mopping one of the first floor hallways when I heard a chair scrape across the floor inside a classroom farther down the hall. If you've ever been in a grade school, you probably know exactly the sound I mean. Those little metal-legged chairs make a very particular scraping noise on tile. I didn't think anything of it. Teachers stayed late sometimes, so I figured somebody was still working in their classroom. I walked down there because I was eventually going to have to clean it anyway, but the classroom was dark. I opened the door, turned on the light. Nobody was inside. I checked behind the teacher's desk, which was ridiculous because there was nowhere for an adult to hide anyway, and all of the chairs were pushed under the desks. I remember standing there for a second and thinking maybe the sound had come from the room next door, so I checked that one too. It was empty. I did not think ghost. I just figured I had gotten the direction of the sound wrong. A few months later, I had another weird thing happen in one of the student bathrooms. I'd already cleaned that bathroom and was done with that entire end of the building. Part of my routine was checking all the faucets before I left because kids were always leaving them dripping. And I know I had shut them all off. Maybe 20 or 30 minutes later, I came back through that hallway and I could hear water running. One of the faucets was on full blast, not dripping or running a little stream. It was running like someone had turned it all the way on and walked away. I shut it off, stood there looking at it, again, tried to explain it. Maybe the handle was loose. Maybe I had left it on, although I knew I hadn't. I even turned it on and off a few times to see if it would move by itself, and it didn't. The strangest thing I heard more than once was running upstairs. The second floor had classrooms too, but by the time I got around to cleaning downstairs, the whole upper floor should have been empty. Every once in a while, I would hear what sounded like a kid running from one end of the hall to the other above me. It wasn't slow footsteps or creaking, it sounded like a kid running fast. The first time it happened, I actually went upstairs because I thought someone had been left behind. There was nobody up there. All of the classrooms were empty. Most of the lights were already off. I checked the bathrooms, nothing. I heard it again a few weeks later, and then again maybe a couple months after that. It didn't happen every night, which is one reason why I never got too worked up about it. Most nights were completely normal. I told myself it must just be the building. The problem was, after you spend enough time in a building, you learn what it sounds like. I knew what the radiator sounded like. I knew the pipes. I knew the sounds of doors made when the air pressure changed. This sounded just like a kid running. There was also one classroom light that came back on after I shut it off. I had cleaned the room, turned the light off, pulled the door closed behind me, made it halfway down the hall when I noticed light coming through the little window in the door. Went back, opened it, and the light was on. The switch was a normal, old-fashioned wall switch. It wasn't loose. You had to physically flip it. I shut it off and left, and it stayed off the second time. By then, I had started joking to myself that maybe I wasn't always alone in the building. The thing that really got me happened when another custodian was helping me one evening. He normally worked at another school in the district, but he was there because we had some floor work to do before an event. We were downstairs working and talking about completely normal stuff when out of nowhere he asked me, "Do you ever hear that kid running around upstairs?" I stopped what I was doing and I asked him what he meant, and he said whenever he filled in for me at that school at night, he would sometimes hear a kid running across the second floor. He had gone upstairs looking more than once because he thought somebody's child had been left behind after a school event and he never found anyone. I hadn't told him anything about what I had heard. That was the moment I stopped trying quite so hard to explain it away. The creepiest thing that happened to me was probably the most simple. I was cleaning one of the classrooms late one night. I was wiping down the teacher's desk when I heard a child say, "Hi." It came from behind me. I turned around immediately. Nobody was there. It wasn't loud. It didn't sound scary. It honestly sounded like a kid saying hi. But that probably scared me more than the footsteps because there was no way to blame that on plumbing. I left the classroom, stood in the hallway for a little while before I went back in to finish. I never really researched the history of the school. I asked around a little, but nobody knew of any child dying there or anything like that. I'm actually kind of glad I never found some big story connected to it because I think that probably would have made working there at night harder. I stayed at the school for several more years. Things never got worse, but they never stopped either. I would still hear the running upstairs once in a while, and there were a few other things here and there that would make me wonder. Eventually, another custodial position opened up at a different school in the district that paid a little better, so I took it. I wish I could say there was some big final experience on my last night at the school, but there wasn't. I finished my shift, turned off the lights, locked the doors, left, and that was it. For all I know, there's still some night custodian working downstairs who occasionally stops what he's doing because it sounds like a kid is running through the empty second floor hallway. I'm just glad it isn't me who has to go upstairs and check anymore. Thanks for reading my story, Kevin. I think that is so common. Those haunted schools.
I don't think that because you die somewhere doesn't mean you can't haunt or be kind of drift, you know, where you actually go to another place. Does that make sense? Like I'm saying, like if you died in the hospital, I think you could haunt your house.
Oh, I agree.
Right. So
I don't think you're stuck to one location, actually.
Right. And he said, like, he didn't know of any history of a child dying there or that anything weird had happened there. But, you know, there could have been a situation where somebody died and then that's where they went to because it's maybe what they really associated their life with was school. That's kind of what their thing was.
The running could be all residual.
Sure. I agree with that. Some things feel residual.
Now, I think that the lights coming on, the faucet running, that just feels like your basic paranormal activity.
Run-of-the-mill paranormal activity.
That's right. But I don't know. You know, I think that there are some souls that are connected to a certain location. And maybe once you've passed on, you don't know how to get out of there. You're mm-hmm. kind of stuck. You don't know what to do next. You need a helper. And to mm-hmm. get to the next place, I wonder.
Yeah.
Because I don't want the idea of a kid being stuck at a school for eternity.
Yeah. And the fact that the child said hi to Kevin means that they could see. So it's not like you're trapped in some twilight zone where you're still there with all these children and you're going to school. Right. They actually said hi to Kevin.
But just that one time. Those school stories get me every time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down if you want. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And wherever you are listening, if you would hit subscribe, we would appreciate that very much. And you can become a premium subscriber, advance episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.